people in the military often speak of the call of duty. There are some men with an incredibly strong drive to serve their country. But what's your call of duty? What's the most compelling responsibility that weighs so heavily on you that if you failed to do it, you would feel like your life is a failure?
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Paul's got a dilemma. He can't decide. He only cares about exalting Christ, but if that can be done either through his living or through his dying, then verse 22, what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. It's like, I don't know who to root for in my trial. Again, it's not really up to him. It's up to Caesar. But he's like, I don't know who to root for, the prosecution or the defense. He gets to daydreaming about, what if I get a not guilty and you're free to go decision, and I can just hightail it off to Philippi and minister to them and have spiritual fruit and everything. And he's like, oh, that's so, he gets to daydreaming about that. It's like, it's so tantalizing to think about that. But then he starts thinking, what if it's a guilty verdict and they say off with his head and they chop up my head and boom, I'm with Christ in paradise. And oh man, and he thinks about it, and that's so tantalizing. And he's just like, I don't know which one I want more. The words he uses point to a strong emotional conflict inside him. He can't decide. So in verses 20 to 23, he's going back and forth. Six times he goes back and forth. Life, death, life, death, life, death. The advantages of each one. And then he's like, I can't decide. I'm torn between the two. So where does he finally land? He finally makes his decision down in verse 25. Verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain. I'll stay. Convinced of this, okay? Because of this wonderful thing that I'm convinced of, I think I'd rather stay in this world for now instead of go to heaven. What was he convinced of? I'll just back up one phrase, verse 24. He says, it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of that, I'll remain. Okay? So he's like, okay, I can't decide. Well, it's better for the Philippians if you remain. Okay, that tips the scales. That's it. That makes a decision for me. But how does that make sense? Because he just got done saying that to be with Christ is better by far. If you got two options, and you know for sure one is better by far, doesn't that make a decision for you? Why choose the one that's not better by far? Well, two reasons. First one, mission. This is his mission. Imagine a soldier in combat on the front lines in a trench, getting frostbite, miserable, horrible conditions, pulls out a picture of his wife and kids, and he's looking at this picture and shivering. And this fellow soldier sees him looking at the picture, and he's like, wouldn't you rather be with your wife right now at home in your living room playing with your kids? And he's like, oh, yeah, that'd be better by far. That'd be better by far. So then why did you enlist? Call of duty. Mission. This needs to be done. Somebody needs to stand up, defend this country. Paul's an old man. He's trying to decide between rest or labor, and he chooses labor. Right? Verse 22, if I'm to go on living in this body, it will mean fruitful labor for me. He sees that as a big plus. God has planted in the human heart an insatiable hunger to complete that which we were designed to do, that which we were commissioned to do. We need to do it. We need to fulfill our calling. There's just this powerful drive to fulfill our purpose for existing in this world. That drive is more compelling even than our desire for comfort and rest. I heard a pastor recently talking about his wife, how his wife just had this ministry. She loved to go and help women who were struggling, especially with a hard pregnancy. Like if they had a couple of young children and then they're bedridden with some hard pregnancy, she would always go over to their house and like clean up their whole house and cook them food and take care of the kids and just do all this, organize everything, do all this stuff. And she would come home absolutely exhausted. And it was just so taxing on her. She's just so tired. Her husband finally, he saw how time consuming it was and how difficult and how tired she was. And she said, maybe you shouldn't do this anymore. You know, and so she stopped. And they found that as soon as she stopped, she lost her joy. She lost her joy. And then she started doing it again because she said, I'd rather have the joy than the rest. I'd rather just be exhausted. If you're looking for a reason to go on living, find out what your calling is. Find out what God made you for. It's not a question of whether God called you to something. He did. If you're a believer, He did. God calls every single one of His children to a particular role in His body. And you will be assessed on Judgment Day with regard to how faithful you were in that role. If you're not exactly sure what your call is at this time, that should be your prayer request in prayer group every single week. Help me find my calling. Have the group pray for you and ask God to show it. Ask your prayer group leader, help me discover it. What can I do? Let me try some stuff out. See if that's it. And we got a whole session in Agape 101. Sit in on that session, or it's online. You can go to foodforyoursoul.net and go to Agape 101 class and listen to that session on gifts and calling. Because you're not going to have the drive that you need to carry on your ministry and to carry on your life properly unless you are dead sure God called me to this. Almighty God commissioned me to do this. I'm on a mission from God, literally. This is what gave Paul so much motivation. You know, hey, anybody remember the Blues Brothers movie? This guy's just going around doing all this ridiculous stuff, and they're not afraid to do it because they thought they were on a mission from God. They kept saying that. We're on a mission from God. Of course they weren't. But that illustrates the point. Right? Paul really was. And so Paul was just like them, except he really was on a mission from God. So he was unstoppable because of his calling. Paul, whenever he introduces himself, it's always Paul. You'd think that called was Paul's last name. Because it's always, Paul called to be an apostle. Paul called to be, that's the very next word after he says Paul. His calling was his identity. People who are trying to find themselves and kind of discover their identity and who am I? You know, maybe some teenager, like, who am I really? What am I? And they end up just, it's like making up their own identity. They're just inventing something. And they decide, well, I want to be known as an athlete, you know, or I want to be a musician, or I want to be known as really smart, or I want to be known by my tattoos, or my, you know, and I got to carve out some kind of a identity, you know, so I'm going to have an orange mohawk, you know, or just whatever. But none of that ends up satisfying, because the only identity that's really going to satisfy your hunger for identity is your actual identity that God designed you for. You're designed by your maker to fulfill some function in the body as a body part. That's your identity. And when you figure out what that role is, and you start to understand the magnitude of the importance of the work that the body as a whole is actually doing in the world, you will be driven by a call of duty that supersedes even your desire to go to heaven. And it's not rocket science figuring this out. Don't make it harder than it is. Mostly, it's just looking at the various opportunities that are available right now, various ministry opportunities in the church, and picking the one that's the best fit right now out of the various ones that are available. Whichever one that fits your gifts and your abilities and your passions the closest, that's your calling. That's not that hard. And sometimes people will say, well, wait a minute. You keep saying in the church. What about my job? Isn't that my calling? Or my family? You know, I'm a wife, I'm a husband, I'm a brother, I'm a sister, whatever. Isn't that my calling? Yeah, all of that is part of it. If you follow God's guidance and you land in a particular job, then yeah, that job is your calling, for sure. And your role in your family, no question about it. That's your calling. That's part of your calling. Your workplace is your mission field. You're to be salt and light there. And Scripture is very clear instructions on family as a priority in ministry. However, if you just read through the New Testament and read everything it says about ministry, the great emphasis in there, by far, has to do with your role in the body of Christ, serving the church with your spiritual gifts. That's the emphasis. That's what's emphasized more in the New Testament, even than family responsibilities. So don't get the idea that, well, I'm not going to do anything in church because I got my family ministry and my work. Everybody has a role in the functioning of the corporate body. Just think for a minute about how God designed the church to function. How does this place? I mean, the church is the biggest, most powerful, most influential organization in the world by far. By far. And it's run totally by volunteers. Which is amazing. Because the big corporations, you got to pay every single person who's working. The church, people are giving money. I mean, they're just volunteering. That's God's design. Think for a minute about what God wants for just an average person in the church. So like some guy who has a family, he's married and he's got kids. And what does he want that guy to do? He wants him to get up in the morning and go to work and work all day and earn a living. And then at the end of the day, come home and spend some time with his wife and kids. Pay attention to his family. Take care of his family. And he wants him to get adequate sleep. And on top of that, he's got to mow the yard, fix the broken whatever, get his taxes done, get his oil changed, clean the garage, stay in shape, balance the checkbook. Okay? God wants you to do all that. All that's God's will, right? What does it leave you with for church ministry? Tiny little sliver of your time is left. That's it. Now, the whole pie of your time, you get this tiny little sliver left after you've done all that. That's all that's left. That's God's design. That's what he wants. The whole church to be run on all those little slivers. This massive thing that's happening all over the world. It's just the greatest thing happening in the world right now. It's being run by all those little slivers. That's just to show the greatness of God. So don't ever think, well, my little sliver is such a tiny little sliver. Why bother? You need to realize God's design is for the greatest, most complex, most pervasive organization in the world to be run by those little slivers and nothing else. So now there's some exceptions to that. People are single, they got a bigger sliver. I mean, they can do much more. 1 Corinthians 7 says they have the ability to do more than married people. Or some of you have a job situation that allows for that, or you're retired or whatever. But generally speaking, we've all got a tiny little sliver. But think of how the body functions. Every cell in the body contributes only a tiny bit. Right? But if all the cells in the body says, well, I only contribute a tiny bit, so I'm just going to quit. You don't have a body. Don't fall into the error of thinking that the importance of your ministry is related to how much time it takes. I'll say it again. Don't fall into the error of thinking that the importance of your ministry relative to the rest of your life is related to how much time it takes. If you go by that criterion, then the most important thing you ever do is sleep. Right? I don't think that works. The fact that something takes up most of your time doesn't mean that's the most important thing in your life. If we take our cues from the New Testament, then the most driving, motivating, compulsion fueling our lives will be that little role that we play in the body of Christ. Fruitful ministry. So that was one reason why Paul decided he wanted to stay in the body rather than go to heaven. Mission. If heaven is far better, Paul, why stay in the body? Mission. He was driven by mission.
Are you fulfilling your duty in the body of Christ? When you get a paycheck from a company, your conscience, not to mention your boss, requires you to carry out your duty. And there are other contexts where we feel duty bound. Maybe you feel like you need to do your part in your neighborhood or as a citizen where you live. If you're strong, maybe you feel a duty to protect the weak around you. But none of those duties are as fundamental as our duty to the body of Christ. Those other jobs might seem more significant because they take so much more of your time, but that's not what determines importance. Maybe you don't even know what your job is in the church. I gave some suggestions for figuring that out in the lesson, but for now, just focus on the sense of duty. Once you have that, you'll figure out some way to contribute. And if you don't have that sense of duty, you won't do a great job no matter how much you know your calling. Take a little time to think about how important the church is in the world, the function of the church. It's the headquarters for the presence of God in the world. It's God's way of preserving this world so that mankind doesn't become so irredeemably wicked that it would call for another flood. Even with all the many flaws the church has, still, without her, the world would be absolutely unlivable. And all the good God does through the church worldwide is accomplished by each of the cells in the body doing its job. God has granted you the dignity of having a task that really matters. whether you can see how it matters or not. Spend as much time thinking about that as it takes for that sense of compelling duty to rise in your heart. Father, show me my calling. What is my role right now in this place, in the fellowship where I am right now, at this time in my life? Which opportunity that's before me now best fits my gifts and passions? Even if nothing seems to be a great fit, show me which fits best and help me see that as your calling on my life right now. Only your Spirit can create passion in the human heart, Lord. Give me passion. Compel me. And thank you for the gifts you've given me, Lord, for the way I interact with people that's different from the way others do it. I know that that reaches a certain kind of person. Thank you for the unique way of seeing things that you've given me that's different from the way other people see things. Thank you for the experiences I've had all my life that give depth to my ministry. Thank you for my family and friends and support you've surrounded me with. Thank you for my passions that you've planted in me. There are some ministries in the church that don't matter all that much to me, but there are others that really do. I seem to care more about when they go wrong than most people do. Thank you for putting those passions in my heart, Lord, and making me care about those things. Show me what I can do to fortify those ministries in my church. Forgive me for the times I've neglected my duty, Father. Don't let me be found idle when Christ returns. I want to be faithful. I want to be a faithful, profitable servant, Father, because you are worthy of the highest service with the most effort and the best attitudes. You are worthy. I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. In your unfailing love, Lord, remove the obstacles that hinder my ministry to your people, because I am your servant. The creation serves you. You make the clouds your chariot and ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, flames of fire your servants. The wild ox serves you. Don't let me be outdone by the lower creation. Make me a profitable servant, dear Father.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of Philippians, 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.